Collaboration among ministers and ministries. Please help me get the scriptures in Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, verse 9 to 12. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12. Now the Bible says that two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. 10. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. Please keep moving it to verse 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath no other to help him up. Verse 11. Again, if two lie together, they heat, but how can one be warm alone? Verse 12, the last. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and the threefold cord is not quickly or easily broken. If one prevail against him, two will be able to withstand him. A threefold cord is not easily broken. When we talk about collaboration, we talk about an action of working together with someone to produce a result. It is forming an alliance with another. It is partnership. It is teaming up. It is pulling resources together to advance a cause. And now, this is one of the major things that is lacking in the body of Christ, particularly among ministers. Ministers especially, well, of the Eastern region. I worked greatly with the people in the West, and I know that there is a great collaboration among them. Very, very great collaboration. Very, very, very great collaboration. And it's one of the reasons why they seem to be going far and farther. And I believe that is why God is bringing this as part of the topics that we are handling in this conference. That time has come for us, ministers, to begin to collaborate. What we do here in the most part is to compete, which is particularly unfortunate. We compete. We are a people that finds it difficult to acknowledge that someone is better than us. Very difficult to acknowledge that someone is better than us. But God is calling us this morning that we would have to drop competition and pick up collaboration. Our work is complementary. There is nothing to compete about. Everybody has his cause. Everybody has his giftings. Everybody has his calling. And the Bible said, wherein thou hast been called, the Bible said, therein abide. We need to collaborate. The work of ministry is likened to setting up a building. In 1 Corinthians 3:10, Paul was talking. He said, as a qualified master builder, I have laid a foundation. He said, others is going to build. Now, God have set me to lay foundation. It's a building that is going to take place. But the foundation is not all that there is in a building. There are other aspects. There are other people. There are other giftings. There are other graces. There are other talents that must be pulled together in order for a building to stand. He laid the foundation. Some of us here, we are builders. Before this building we are using today was put in place, many professions we are involved. Maybe there was a quantity surveyor. In fact, a surveyor in the first instance that surveyed the place, produced the survey plan, and then maybe a quantity surveyor that came, looked, the architect that looked at the plan, designed the building, creating the departments and everything within it. That's an architect. Maybe a quantity surveyor was involved in order to cost this building. Now it's been designed, okay? Please, can we have a cost so that we will be able to know if we can embark on it? Because the Bible said when you want to build, you sit down and you count the cost. Then after that, the cost was established by a quantity surveyor. Then maybe a building engineer comes in to do the setting out. And then he will engage the laborers. He will engage masons. He will engage bricklayers. Now, all these are various aspects of graces and giftings that must collaborate if that building will be erected. As the building begins, the structural engineers will come, the civil will come, the electrical engineers will come. As it progresses, various aspects. Why is it that people of the world understand these things and use it to their advantage, and God's own people fight it? And we are stuck. Oh, Father, do it. Father, do it. Father, do it. All you needed was to call someone you know is gifted in that area. But you won't. You will die fasting and praying. And you think God can be moved by foolishness? God cannot. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people. Not his enemies. His own people. You must collaborate. And it's about time. It is about time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, if you go through scriptures, you see, now God called Moses. Moses began to complain that he couldn't talk. This, that. God said, okay, I'm going to bring Aaron. You're going to collaborate with him. He's eloquent. He's an orator. He could do the talking for you. Moses would have said to God, you can do all things. You can help me to begin to talk well. Because he wanted to be all in all. Listen to me. You see, that thinking is thinking that make men small. You want to be all in all. You will be small. You will make progress. And so we see Aaron coming along, and God said to Moses, you see, he's going to be your prophet. You're going to be like God to him. And they began a work of collaboration to deliver the people of Israel from the land of bondage. Listen, ministry is not something you do alone. Know it and know it well. Ministry is not what you do alone. And the challenges I see is people want to do it alone. It's just like you want to build. Maybe you are a building engineer. And because you feel you're a building engineer, you've gone to this university, you've studied building engineering, that's okay. But I assure you, if you fail to collaborate with others, that building will never see the light of day. Because as you're a building engineer, you're not an electrical engineer. You cannot do electrical design. You must look for a qualified, certified electrical engineer to do the electrical design of that structure. But people would rather pray to God to give them the grace to do electrical designing, so that it will be said that they are the one that did it. And that's our bed. And that's our problem. One day I went to see someone in UNTH, Ituku Azara, and as I entered, now God spoke to me. He said, my son, he said, didn't I say in my word that the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of the kingdom? He said, this is a hospital, teaching hospital. He said to me that they are all doctors here. He said, but the person you brought is going to the department of ENT. Now, even if he mistakenly stumbles in the department of gynecology, the doctors will tell him, no, go to ENT. They are the ones that will handle your case. But what happens among ministers? He will be gynecologist. He will do ENT. They will become surgeon. They will become everything. And that is why there is confusion. And we seem not to be making progress. Because we find it difficult, again I say, to acknowledge that someone is better than us in an area. It beats my imagination. Why should I struggle? I know my area, sir. I know my area. And I know other areas. I know that this person. I said, no. Please, go and meet this guy. Meet the pastor. He's gifted and graced in these things you are looking for. It doesn't diminish me. It only makes me wise. That is the truth. He said this entire body structure as a teacher is working well. Why? There is great collaboration. Here is a certified consultant surgeon. Yet, before he opens anybody, an anesthesiologist must be there. He must be there. In fact, a lab scientist must have gone ahead to prepare the parameters to ensure that the vital, you know, whatever is in place before you wheel the person. Otherwise, the surgeon will wait. But we are the know-alls and be-alls. Man of God, minister of the Most High. And unknown to you, there is an area that God had given you. It's an area. That's an area. You know you are not called into deliverance. You know it. And then you go and take up a deliverance matter. And after you have finished binding and losing, you go home. Your child dies. Certain evil begin to happen around you. And begin to wonder, oh God, why me, God? Why you? Did he call you there? Today everybody wants to be a prophet. It's so shameful. I'm telling you. Really? How many times did you see Jesus prophesy? Stand and begin to tell people, see. How many times? Is it not one of the gifts he gives? It is. But there are those to whom it has been given. And to those it has been given, they are not teachers. They are prophets. But today, a prophet will open a church and begin to teach and confuse the body of Christ. Confusion. Because he can see. You see, one of the reasons why I tend to tilt to white people is because of this understanding I had. That there was a time, Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts, and T.L. Osborne, they were all staying in one place. Yes. They were all staying in one place. And this one will come and they will be sharing. What are you? Why are you intimidated? That you can't see? I had a friend I stayed with when I graduated and I returned to Enugu. And he had as a wife this American, Jamaican American. She's a prophetess. When I mean first grade, she looks at you, she tells you your life story, the life story of your family. Yes, it's a gift. It's not the fake time, no. But one day, she said something to me. She said, Polycarp, you know, I know you are gifted in the area of deliverance. You know, we can see all these things, but we'll not be able to even stop ourselves from being hot because we do not sustain what it takes to withstand even the evil we are seeing coming. But there are people who has that capacity. So when they see, what does the seer do? The watchman stays at the door and he watches. He sees the enemy advancing. He alerts those who have been equipped to withstand the enemy. He alerts those. He brings information. Your eye sees. But when he sees, it transmits the stuff to your brain so that other aspects of you can work to take charge. To, you know, that it's not just the eyes. It's needed. Your hands are needed. God wants us to begin to collaborate. A pastor is a lawyer. There are constitutional lawyers. There are property lawyers. There are those in litigation. There are those in various aspects. It will be unfortunate. There are those who are human rights lawyers. Then you have a property case, and then you begin to go to a constitutional lawyer. And he takes it because he's a lawyer. Instead of him to say, "You see this area, meet this guy. Meet this guy. Come to church. People are sweating and suffering." I looked at somebody. I said, "You know, you are supposed to be under somebody. You can start something? Really? What's the motive? What's the motive? Because you want to be a man of God. You now rat or cut things. Because you can't even acknowledge that there are areas you are not equipped to handle. So you confuse people, destroy people's lives, and then mess up the church. When it seemed not to be working, I got with Ihaji Emi minister. Collaborate. Somebody can be your eyes. If God has made you ear, somebody can be your eyes. And you will be the person's ear. That's how these things work. And you will be okay. There is no basis for struggle. You see, in all these things, I always wonder, what are you struggling over? Really? There's no basis for competition. What are you competing with? Does the ear compete with your eye? Can the ear do what the eye will do? There are vital organs in your body that are, listen, somebody can be blind and still be alive. Somebody can be deaf and still be alive. But there are organs within that you can't even see. If anything happens to them, your life packs up. You can't even see it. What do you need to work internally without notice? Making no noise. Must you be seen? Must you? That's our problem. Must you be seen? I said to God, must you be seen? Must you come out and hold the mic? Charles G. Finney was a great man of God. He had a man called Father Nash who will labor in the place of prayer. He hears that Finney is coming to Enugu. The man with his own personal money transport himself to Enugu a month before. Labor. By the time he's done laboring in the place of prayer, as Finney's plane is landing and he steps into Enugu, the power of God hits the entire city. It's not hits the entire city. It's on record that at times the man will be passing a city. Maybe he's going to a Borno state and he passes through Enugu state. The power of God will settle on the city, not just in one spot, on a city that people will be leaving brothels. People will be running away from brothels, running to church, and everywhere. And it will be on record that after he passed, 10 years, 20 years, you won't get drinking joint. We are wasting our times and pursuing nonsense. And at times, I just say to God, all this thing we are doing, competing, is that how we bring down the glory of God? Unbelievers are mocking us, looking at us as misguided, fool, people who don't have intelligence. People are busy messing up the church in the name of God, in the name of ministers. When Father Nash died, it wasn't long. Charles G's ministry collapsed because he was the man that was powering, and yet you never know him. You never know him. Thank you, Father. Brethren, it's time. It's important for you to know who you are in God and your portion. It's important. If there is anything to know, please know your place and your portion, your graces and your gifting. Know it. And because some don't know it, they keep gallivanting, trying to be jack of all trades. You don't need to be jack of all trades. You will master nothing. I'm telling you.
You will master nothing.
Akwokpom deliverance, ega. Immediately deliverance comes. Akwokpom eba. It's not prophetic. Akwokpom. You really don't know who you are. Please help me ask your neighbor, who are you? What has God given you? I can't remember. It's not on record that Billy Graham ever prayed for the sick. You might go gather sick people and begin to lay hand on them. No! God called him an evangelist. And he remained an evangelist. And he died an evangelist. Even though Nigeria was under military and Islamic military rule, Nigeria sent delegation for his burial. Nations of the world, we are being represented that a gospel preacher, a minister, died, was being buried. He stayed. You want those words? There are people who are gifted in those areas. You can meet them. They deal with it. Have you ever seen Oyedepo conduct deliverance? Now I ask you. In his meetings. Somebody there, if you do that, you are a distraction. They will quietly carry you out. And then those who are gifted in those areas will treat your mother somewhere. Yet you see people put mic in somebody. The demon. What is all this? Now, if that is what God has given you, fine. But if you are trying to pattern your stuff because you see somebody do, let me tell you. What has God given you? Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, give I you. What has God given you? I graduated, got a job in Port Harcourt, and God said I should leave and return to Enugu. I looked like an idiot. In fact, they went to my dad and told him that finally, your enemies have gotten you. Because it could not be explained. I was the first graduate in my place that became a pastor. It cannot be explained. I said, no one will call. Give me a call. Not why I go. I'm telling you. Was it easy? No. Just like the pastor preached. If you look at things from the carnal standpoint, you will never make progress in this kingdom. And God began to tell me some things. He began to tell me some things. The assignment. And I began to do it. It didn't appear as if something was happening. But as we progressed, God said to me, you will begin from your village. He said, I will use you to tame darkness. Was it easy? It wasn't. But today, the Igbo of my place is the only Igbo Jesus they have in Enugu State. Listen to me. Listen. You see, understand what God has called you to do. When you do, you don't compete. In fact, you collaborate with people who will help you in fulfilling it. You don't just gather anybody around you. You don't. Ninika and Abu Pastor. That was what somebody said to me. We went somewhere. I said, no, Pastor. I said, no, Nyenike, but Pastor. I know the stigmatization and the things we had to go through. And gradually, God began his work. God began his work. And I assure you, it won't be too long. You will know. Light will overtake the entire land. It is a work that you have been given to accomplish. A work you have been given to accomplish. What have God given you to do? Why are you distracted? Why is your eyes on somebody's thing? The Bible says don't covet. But today, I covet the anointing. Even the same word the Bible used. That's what believers use. And they think it's spiritual. They say, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's good. But today, I covet this your jeep. I covet your... And I look at people and I wonder, are they okay? I mean, are they okay? This is the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet. Why are you coveting? Why don't you develop what he gave you and collaborate with others? collaborate with others. What are you bringing on the table? What are you bringing on the table? There is something I have. You can't take it away from me. So I'm not intimidated. When I enter into my place, you can't be, you cannot. I don't care who you are. You cannot. Because that thing is a mandate, is an ordination. He said to Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you, I knew you. Before you came out of your mother, I ordained you a prophet. This thing, Ejire Ekpele Ekpeti, Gaba Mountain. There are a level of things that will happen because you went to the mountain to do some fastings, and that there are a level of things, but there is something that is an ordination. Jesus said, it is written concerning me. In the volume of your books, O God, I've come to do your way. It's an ordination. It's also knowledge that the church doesn't have. Everybody is not the same. You have yours, I have mine. You have yours. Work on it. Stop being intimidated. Stop being intimidated. Stop neglecting the gift that is in you. That's what the Bible says. Why are you neglecting your own? Who told you that another person's own is better than yours? Who told you? The founder of the Redeemed Christian Church of God couldn't read and he couldn't write. He was a stark illiterate. And he didn't bother to go for adult education. He continued in that which God called him to do. And the university done. Adeboye was already having a PhD in mathematics, applied mathematics. Had to come to interpret for an illiterate man. He was his interpreter. Left to follow an illiterate man. Because the man was in his place. He wasn't intimidated that he wasn't learned. I served as assistant general overseer in the Redeemed Christian Church of God. It was last 3 months or 4 months that we went to bury him in the redemption camp that I read his biography, that I found out that that man never went to his secondary school. I couldn't believe my eyes. I could not. My organ, he was the tailor to the founder of Redeemed Christian Church of God. He didn't go to secondary school. But in that man's lifetime, he was provincial pastor in Lagos. He headed the entire youth of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. He was posted to Enugu here, where we met and I became his personal assistant and the secretary. He was in charge of the entire southeast and south-south of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. He left that position to go to Southern Africa to become in charge of the entire Southern African nations of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Stay where God has called you and collaborate with others. Collaborate with others. I've seen some little things. What are you intimidated about? When they were reading, most of the things I know, he taught me. Because I was a son to him. They would call me and say, my son, never get involved in church politics. He said, never. I said, I will never. He would call me and say, my son. He told me that God doesn't answer every prayer. I said, what do you mean? He laughed. He said, there was one day him and the wife joined their hands. Things were so bad that they earnestly, sincerely prayed that as they sleep, they should wake up in glory. Because they didn't want their eyes to wake again to witness the challenge that was there. He said, God didn't answer that prayer. And when he was telling me this, his son is in Scotland. The other one is in Canada. The other one is in South Africa. Was a student in University of South Africa. As a dad, God had helped him. God had blessed. He said, supposing God answered that prayer at that time. Brethren, you see, collaboration is important in ministry. Very, very, very important. Very, very, very important. One of the things it does is that, you see, when you collaborate, it helps you to gain knowledge. You came for this conference. There are some few things you are gaining because you made yourself available to come. There are some few things you are gaining because you made yourself available to come. Because you are collaborating with NECO to advance the purposes of God over the commission. There are understandings you gain. You know why ministers are parochial? They are narrow-minded. They don't collaborate. And so they think that their own stuff is all and in all. It's not true. It's not true. You see, a child will always think that his father's farm is the largest until he tries to collaborate to see other people's father's farm. And then he will learn wisdom and humble himself. Learn to collaborate. It brings impact. Your impact becomes more pronounced. Your impact becomes more pronounced when you collaborate. It was God that gave Moses the pattern of the tabernacle. Yes. I said to him, make sure you build according to what I showed you. Yes. But Moses wasn't an architect. And God said to him, for these things to happen, I have anointed Bezalel. There are people you must collaborate with if you are going to fulfill this commission. A lone ranger, you won't go far. All these things you think you are doing alone, you are doing alone, you are doing alone. You are just wearing yourself out. I'm telling you. And maybe because of the magnanimity of the Holy Ghost, he could allow you experience some shaking. And then he might go, okay, and feel that something is happening. In the most part, you are wearing yourself out. And he's bringing wisdom this morning. Collaborate. Collaborate with others. If you see areas where you know somebody is better than you, please collaborate with that person and be strengthened. Be strengthened. When you collaborate, it makes you stronger. You know how Uriah was taken out? David wrote a letter, gave it to himself. He said, go and give it to your commander. And the letter was, push him to the war front and withdraw from him. Don't collaborate with him in the fight. That was all. Don't assist him. Isolate from him. Let him be alone. Let him be alone. And some people are alone. Ha! Huh. The Bible said two is better than one. It is the ancient wisdom. God said so. He said they are trying to defeat one. He said two will be able to withstand them. Take out a broomstick. You can easily break it. But when you collaborate with other sticks and forms a bunch, you can't break it. You can't break it. Oh, you think there is an honor in being isolated? No, there is not. You are setting yourself up. In fact, one of the strategies of the devil when he wants to finish a minister is to give you that thinking that you are better than others, you are unique, you are so wonderful, you are better than everybody, and you can associate yourself. You are being set up for destruction. That is the truth. When it begins to happen, no. Defy that wickedness and seek for people to stand with you. Seek for people to stand by you. Seek for people. A minister in this nation was having his ministries in the UK. The government of UK came against that. It was a man that asked to move from here. He said, go to London and spend 2 months and withstand the onslaught that the enemy has projected to the government. Collapse it so that their ministry continues. And he went there in his capacity as an intercessor and held back the wickedness. Listen to me. Hey, you don't have people around you and you are okay as a minister of the gospel? To tell you the magnitude of what is in our place. When I laid the foundation of that my place, the attack came. I was framed up for attempted murder. Now, before that happened, one of my mentors, God asked him to leave Delta State to come to my place. I was living in a flat then. And the man said it was a strange instruction. He said, I will call my son to come up. I said, no. I said, you should go. It was strange. He called me. I said, okay. Booked a hotel for him. So I shouldn't tell anybody he was coming. And he came. We drove to my flat. He told me, my son, I can assure you that I don't know why God said I should come, but I have obeyed him. As he said that, he began to tell me all the plan. Began to tell me everything that will happen. Began to tell me how it was going to happen. Began to tell me where it was coming from. And he prayed. And he told me that God has given you victory. And he left. 2 weeks, he began to play out. I came on a Sunday morning in the church. People from State CID came to pick me up. Came from Zone 9. Collaborated with the CID, the little book systems here. They came and picked me up. What was it that they're charging me for attempted murder? Really? Now, I wasn't taken aback. I've already been told. And the game began. The game began. I was taken, reminded in prison custody. The person that reminded me was paid. The judge that we handled the matter was already settled. The people who conspired told me that if I come out in 5 years, then the God I'm serving is strong. It wasn't, and the whole thing was to make sure that thing did not come up. Because I knew what I was dealing with. You don't collaborate. People raised altars. People were praying, doing chain praying for me. People raised altars in various places. It wasn't a little conspiracy. I only stayed there for 29 days. People I do not know. Why? You can't. There are battles you die fighting that battle. Let me tell you, all the rest of your life, you'll just be fighting battle. You're fighting battle. It's not your battle. It's not your battle. There are people that will step into that thing. That whole labor of 10 years will vanish in 1 second. It will vanish in 1 second. It will seem as if it is nothing. Was it not God that sent Gabriel to deliver answer to Daniel? Was not Gabriel stopped by a satanic entity? And for 21 days he was struggling until a collaboration came. And when Michael landed in his capacity, the Prince of Persia couldn't stand. In fact, he couldn't stand the heat as he was descending. I encourage you. The hands of Moses were hanging down. Moses was a great man of God. He needed collaboration with Aaron and Hur. They came and said, okay, no, we're going to collaborate. This one held this one. This one held this one. They didn't come there to raise their own hands. Old man, because Sheba put up and raise their own hands. Nothing would have happened. Nothing. Israel would have been destroyed. Because it's not given to them to raise hands. May we understand our places. May we understand our callings. May we collaborate to see the work of God fulfilled. And that will be your portion in Jesus' name. Please be on your feet.
If you want to say something to God, feel very, very free to do that. Worship Him. Declare that you are receiving wisdom to collaborate with other ministers. I receive wisdom. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.